Thank you very much, Alice. We will go directly to Betty. If you have questions, please just record them and keep them. We'll have a time for asking that questions to the different presenters at the end.
Thank you, Jessica. We are new, as it had already been said, told by Jessica. We had not been in the regional institute before, but why we are here, you are now aware. I will start by giving the background. Because of time factor, I'm going to hurry, and at certain level, I'll be brief. However, the issue of Northern Uganda, we would appeal, if there was really not time pressure, we would have been given more time so that you participants could understand exactly what had been going on in the north and is still there. Nevertheless, let me start with the background. I am starting my background from Uganda because we are mixed here. Uganda is one of the East African countries. It got independent in October 9, 1962. Gulu district is in northern Uganda. That is where I come from. Uganda had been a very peaceful country since the time they got independent. But as we talk now, there isn't any relative peace, especially in the northern Uganda. Gulu district used to be the food basket of Uganda. But because of the war, when you go and see the place now, you can't believe it, though it looked fertile. The war in the north started right up in 1986, when Museveni took over, and those who were in government army then, decided to rebel against Museveni regime. So they went in the bush. By that time, they were called ULNF. They went in the bush. That was in 86. Somehow they negotiated with the government and some of them came out, but others remained. People like those of Uti Vincent was among them. Then in 1989, we had Alice Lakwena. Alice Lakwena rebellion went right up to Iganga. Thereafter came his father. In fact, Alice Lakwena was the one who started this spiritual, you know, spiritual beliefs, that is spirit. She was fighting using shea butter with stone. That the stone was the weapon and the shea butter, I don't know what it was. Then thereafter came the father. The father actually did not take longer time. Immediately after, the father was also believing in spirit. After Lokoya, who is the father of Alice, came now Kony. Kony is a bone of a place in one of the sub-counties called Lalogi. Actually, he had been a notorious boy in the area. He used to actually rob women who used to come back from the what? From the market. Then thereafter, he started behaving as if he was provoked by, possessed by what? By devils, by the demon. Then he went to the bush. The community in Gulu district experienced a lot of atrocities done by Kony rebels. The mouths of the people were cut. Why their mouths were cut was because we had RDC who said, when you see, he was trying to mobilize the community to assist the government soldiers to find out where the rebels would be coming. Then he said, if you see the rebel, they come always in the night. If you see the rebel arriving, you make an alarm. So now people started making an alarm. Now when the rebels come, they would ask you, which one do you prefer? Should we cut your mouth or your hand? Then the others, they would not even decide whether they can decide to cut your mouth, your ears, your arm, and your nose, that kind of thing. So they did a lot of deformation on the community. And the war intensified, so much so that there was massacre. You remember Atiak massacre, to give one of the examples. The rebels came, Atiak is in the Sudan border. The rebel came, collected people in Atiak and the school children, about 300 of them. Then they were killed near a certain river in Atiak. Now, when that kind of killing continued, the government thought of putting people now in the camp. The killing was the actors. I'm sorry I didn't mention the actors. The actors were two ways. The LLA were also killing people. By that time, they were called National Resistance Army. They were also killing the people, and eventually they changed to UPDF. If you are found in the bush there, they suspect you to be collaborator of the rebels. Now, the rebels, when they also find you, they said you are the one taking the message to the government. So you can now imagine the situation in which the community were in. Then, when they were taken to the camp, by that time, ISIS Week started training us. So we shared a lot of experiences with those who were also coming from war-affected areas like us. Now, let me go now to the format. Having shared all those experiences, I felt that I had a challenge. And maybe before I go to the challenge, there came a lot of abduction. They first started by abducting adults, women and men. Now, a woman, if you are abducted, you are supposed to carry heavy load of foodstuff which they have looted. If you say that you are tired, they would ask me, do you want to rest? Then they kill you there. If you have a child, you are carrying at the back. When the child starts crying, they said, I think this child is tired. They demand you to remove the child from the back, and they just handle the child, beat the child on the tree, the child dies there. And you, the mother, continues carrying the what? The load. So those were the hard time our people were in. Now, having seen the level the children, and when they saw that the adults were now escaping, they were not getting enough, you know, enforcement. So they resorted now into abducting children, young children, from the age of 4 to 13 years old. Because this one, they are too young, they cannot escape. By this time, the Sudan government had already started, you know, helping Kony. So they would take the children. We got this information from one of the children who came back from the abductees. They took these children to Sudan, and from Sudan, some of the children were exchanged with weapons. Others were trained in fighting. Then, when we saw that there was too much of abduction of children, and the mothers had lost hope in life, and with the experiences that I got, the skill I got in training from ISIS Wiki, we thought we had a challenge. So what I decided to do was now to handle the children abduction. I thought it was necessary to now form ourselves in a group, which is called Gulu Women for Peace, Reconciliation, and Resettlement. Now, we thought we should talk to the mothers whose children were abducted to be involved in convincing their children so that they can come out of the bush. The method we used was door-to-door approach. We were talking to them, in fact, even quietly, because the risk was just terrible. And after that, I think we managed to succeed. With the help of Amnesty in place. So we realized that the women started responding positively. They started talking to their children. Because these children who are in the bush, in the night they do come to their children. to their home, I mean to their mothers, sorry. They come to their mothers. And then at times they bring even to the money for them. They put the money in the granary. They can put whatever they have brought for their family there. So we thought we should now target the mothers to convince their children to come out, so that we can now end the abduction of the children, and even we could make a leeway to ending up the war. I've already talked of the activities. The outcome. I think the outcome had been, I would say we had been successful, because out of our effort and other activists, many children came out. About 1,000, the one we really worked on was 1,650 who came out. And immediately when they started coming out, we noticed another problem, another conflict. That was stigmatization on the returnees. In the year 2006, we started handling the issue of stigma. We started sensitizing the community to accept the children who were abducted, who are returning back home, because they went to the bush not willingly, but they were forced to go to the bush. And I think the response is now, the stigma is going down as we talk now. Contribution to our success. One, the knowledge we acquired in the workshop here has contributed a lot. And two, I think being patient also contributed to our success. Being patient, flexible, and you know, you must really change your attitude. You change your approach every time if you want to succeed in peace building. Challenges. We went through so many challenges. One, you know that this war actually have made the within the district, there are so many peace activists. And one, the other peace activists were thinking that we were undermining them. Another challenge we had was from the politicians. You know, some of these politicians did not want this war to come to an end. So there was a lot of politician interference. They could say, it was unfortunate that I at one time I was strongly supporting the government. So if I go to convince these women, you know, sensitizing them, talking to them, at the end of the day, they would come and say, don't you know that one had been sent by Museveni? You let your children come out, they will all be killed. That is just a trick Museveni is trying to do by sending that woman. So, in a way or another, the attitude would immediately change, and the women would hesitate to convince the women to come out. The biggest challenge we had was logistics. We started this, it was our own initiative as women who had been knowledgeable on peace building. So we were just contributing money within ourselves. We haven't got any assistance from any donor. So it was our own contribution to make a beginning. And in project writing, they always say, you cannot ask for assistance if you have not shown to the donor your start. So we thought we could now start, and maybe we can start selling our activities to the donors. I think ISIS Wiki is our parent. ISIS Wiki, as I talk here, me as a person, as an individual, is very proud of ISIS Wiki, because ISIS Wiki had been really my exposure, extreme exposure. How would I not marry there if it was not ISIS Wiki? So what my mother can do for me is now, one, they could provide more exchange training in capacity building and peace building, conflict resolution and conflict management. Because I have started noticing that much as we are going to maybe to realize peace, there is still going to be conflict on land and struggle on property. Because these guys who were in the bush, they were sending money and they wanted their collaborator to build for them. Now they will come back and will start claiming for their properties, which they had been, you know, sending money for. Then that will be another conflict. We wanted also, maybe ISIS could support us logistically. Financially, we are really down. We don't have means of transport. We don't even have really any single fund for make to let us make any training or, you know, even those people, when you go in the camp, after talking to them, they say, John Pierre, that you should give them something little. You have wasted that time. And they call it John Pierre. We don't even that have that money to give them, to motivate them, so that when we call for our meeting, they can respond positively. And we want also, ISIS Wiki is an international known NGO. They can lobby with other donors so that we could also get support as a baby, support to their grandchild. I want to conclude by saying the last activities we had been doing was, you all aware that there is now peace process, peace talk in Juba. At the grassroots level, we are also contributing by trying to collect the views of the community. Are they willing to accept coin if, in any case, the peace process succeeds? Two, what do they think about the ICC, International Criminal Court issues? Should it continue now that the peace process is on? When we found the response is that they say, the women, one of them, we were together with those of Rose when I led the delegation of UNIFEM to one of the camps in Gulu district, Kolopit. The response of the women in tears was that what we want is only peace. Other issues can be put aside, just peace. We cannot say it's only corn who did harm to us. If we start pointing fingers, I don't know who would not really have our fingers. So our concern is only peace. The issue of ICC should be dropped aside and completely. And that is the last thing we have done. We have collected that data and we have given it to those who had been going to what? To Juba. I want to conclude because I know my time is over. Acknowledgement. I would like to acknowledge with appreciation the support ISIS Wiki has given me. I want to thank my dear mother, Ruth, for all the support and the pride she always have in me. At the same time, I want to thank Mama Jessica, because there was one time when she took the international team in Gulu, and as usual, I'm their contact in the district. When I took them to, because we had been going to other sub-counties, now I said, people are benefiting from ISIS and my people are not benefiting. I did a bit of politicking there. So it's me to draw the program for them. In the program, I happened to slot in my sub-county. Then when we went there, we were received more than even the way the president could be received. Flags flying all over. You know what Jessica did? We had about 30 groups of different groups of women. So almost 40. So what Jessica did, Jessica now said, now Betty, you list for me the names of the groups. I listed the name. Women were there dancing. You can see the photo here. I am here, if you had not noticed. And then You see this woman dancing here is from that sub-county. This is now where the crowd was, the Gulu women. Yeah. So after that, Juska started giving them 20,000 each group. You know what it meant to them? They felt as if they were now in heaven. Because in the camp, they can't manage to get 20,000 at once in a day. That was really great achievement. And now they have, some of the groups have now, you know, invested on that 20,000, and they, one group is, they reported to me that the money is now 200,000. Wow. The other one is 100, because we told them, those who will multiply this money very fast, they will get more. So I want to thank Jessica in a special way for having supported me and supported my people. Without forgetting, when I was coming here, I was a bit disturbed because I was from workshop. Then when I went back from Lira, I found my mother was in coma with pressure. So we were in the hospital. She was discharged on Wednesday. On Thursday, I was supposed to prepare things and, you know, paying school fees for the children. Juliet here tells me, Betty, we are leaving, because my program, I thought we were also coming on Sunday. Juliet called me, Betty, do you know we are leaving on Saturday? Then I said, wow, I am supposed now to leave on Friday from Gulu. But now when I went, within that Friday, I'm supposed to organize the family, leaving them for 2 weeks to know what it means. When I went to the bank with my card, the man is a bit disturbed. Dialing my PIN number, I think I messed up. Then the computer caught my card. Now I was stranded. I had no money to leave the children. I had no transport money. My friend Fatuma was for a workshop in Acholi, and I said, where am I going to get money there? He said, let me go and ask Fatuma. Then I'll refund the money. I called my son. I said, you know, I am now in problem. I don't have money. You organize for me money. We are going for a workshop in Kampa, in Nairobi. Then I said, Fatuma, can you lend me some 60,000, and then I'll refund you from Kampala? Fatuma said, no, that is not a problem. Then she just got her purse and gave me the money. When I reached Kampala, Fatuma was not there. I came here in Nairobi. When we reached Nairobi here, I kept that money because my son brought for me the money that morning. I kept the money to refund Fatuma. I got 150 note and 110,000 note gave Fatuma. You know what happened? She said, this is now your gift. I got shocked. And I cannot really forget thanking her in front of you. So she also contributed in my staying here, because without her supporting me financially, I think I would not make it, maybe. I would make it fine, but I would leave my children without money. So in conclusion, I am very grateful, colleagues, for having met you here. I think my exposure has extended now wider to DRC, because by that time it had only stopped in Sudan. I thank you very much. Thank you.